Okay. Was that harder or easier than the previous writing?
Harder.
Okay. There's not a lot of emotional drama going on in this room right now. Maybe if I broke out in a fight, Leon and I started, you know, wrestling, there'd be a little more to write about. But what I want you to move forward is being able to be in the moment and just write on everything that you're perceiving. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, about how to do that. Again, this was a benchmark. This will get you where your starting point is, what that looks like for you. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, this is part two. We do an hour chunk, and this is the second hour. So, all right. So on to our next W. And now I'm leaving you hanging on that CMD thing. We're going to get back to that in a minute. The next is where. And so when you're the writings, this is the writings for you of your W's. And the next one is where. We talked about when and why and who and to whom. This is where. So pretty, this is going to go quickly. It's pretty simple. You're going to have a routine place. That's a really easy thing to do, hopefully. Make it easy on yourself. Have your supplies ready. What do you like to write with? And make sure it's comfortable. Make sure you can do it. Don't find yourself annoyed with yourself every time you sit down to write. If you do find yourself annoyed, not this isn't working, identify what's working and not working and fix it. And so if you really are committed to writing, you're going to need to decide on where. And in part, that's going to be a routine. You're going to have something that you do because I've asked you to pick a when. And so the where is going to come along with the when, especially with routines. Now, the other place is inspirational places, and these won't necessarily happen in a set spot in your home or your office or wherever. So you're going to get out. You're going to go. You're going to take, as they say, the road less traveled. Literally, I would like you to drive a new way to work. I would like you to see something different. All right? You will have more things to write about if you don't do the same things all the time. Do something different. Get lost, literally. Like, try to get lost. You can have a Google Map, whatever. You're going to be able to get back home eventually. But go somewhere different. Maybe don't go to Compton, but go somewhere different. And get lost. Go somewhere new. And people watch. Super fun. People watch. There's your C&B. And then, you know, don't always be somewhere with somebody. If you're really not a good person, you're not good about being alone, push yourself to try to be alone and have lunch by yourself and be okay with being by yourself. And so you'll be able to people watch without somebody else conversing. Now, if your accountability partner, your writing accountability partner wants to people watch with you, that's fine. But try to stay in your own world and then give yourself time to just do that together. So the writings of where are going to involve you doing things differently. Come on. You're going to get like three of them in a second. They will catch up. So do things differently. Join a club. Be in a club. No, don't go clubbing. Okay, fine. You can go clubbing if you want. That will really give you something different, I'm sure. This is probably not the clubbing crowd. And by that, I mean like parties, not like clubbing little baby seals. So don't do that. That's me. Take walks. Don't just... She's like, oh my gosh. She said every time something inappropriate has to be said. Okay. Join a charity. Participate in something. You know, being involved in a charity. Eat a different food. Leanne and I were doing that for a while. We were picking a restaurant and going someplace you never tried. Like, on purpose, find a food that you don't... That'll give you new tastes, new languages, new experiences. Have new food. Take a new drive. Again, like I said earlier, you know, don't drive the same way to work. Don't drive the same way to church. I was slapping at somebody who's visiting our church for the first time. And I said, how did you find this? She's like, I Googled it. And then I realized you were right around the corner. I never drive down this street. She lives down the corner, but she always heads out that way because she always goes to work. And then she comes back in the same way. She literally has never driven across the front of this church. So drive someplace different. The library is hysterical. Go to the library. Don't laugh too loud. You're supposed to be quiet in a library. But there's a lot of really cool, interesting people and vibes and stuff going on in libraries. So have some fun. Go to a library. Go to the theater. Get out. Go see a show. Go see an expensive show. Fancy pants. And go to community theater and see really bad shows. Like, go see a show. No offense to the community theater people. You guys are great. And what a gift you have, but go to a theater, get lost. I think I duplicated that, get lost. I think I duplicated this twice. I think I did. Go back home. One of the best writing times I had was when I drove back to my home neighborhood growing up, and cried a lot, and saw my old house, and my old school, and, you know, just old places. If you can, if it's nearby, go home. Go to your old school, go to your old neighborhood, go to a former church. All of those wares will help you not experience this. Anyone? Anyone? People are like, I got nothing to say. Okay. There's a couple reasons why this happens. One of them is because you have a deadline and you have panic and fear and you have to get it done and you have a deadline and you need to get it written but you've got nothing to say and so you're just dead. And the other reason why it happens is because you don't have a deadline. Aren't I helpful? You have a deadline, but you got nothing to say. They're pushing you. And so all I'm saying is this happens to everybody no matter what your situation is. No matter if you have a deadline or don't have a deadline, you're going to end up with writer's block at some point where you don't know what to say. So here's how we move past writer's block. Hopefully I'm giving you some tips already that you're realizing, oh, that would really help. I'll just have somebody text me a word. Remember Mad Libs? You just fill in the blank. Just text someone, send me a noun. Someone sends you a noun, great. Make yourself write on it for 90 seconds or what have you. Here's the next one. This is really helpful. You're ready. This is free. No extra charge. Ready? For what I already charged you. You're going to make a list of 100 concepts, 100 ideas, or 100 words, or all of the above. 100. 100. And you're going to freeform write. You're going to literally take a piece of paper and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way to 100. And you're just going to write whatever comes into your mind. And you're going to put that list, fold it up, stick it in your wallet, type it on Evernote, whatever you want to use to make sure it's always handy. You're going to have your 100 idea concepts, words, names, themes, whatever list you want, and you're going to have it. And if every time you're stuck for writing content, you're going to go to your list and say, what haven't I written about that I don't feel like, you know, banging my head against the wall when I think about writing about that? And so guess what we're going to do right now? Start your list. So get a new piece of paper. Here we go.
Can we cheat and start use our list that we've started in our phone?
New list. She's a strict writing teacher. Yes, I am. All right, here we go. And you don't have to pre-number it. That'll take too long. So just start writing. Number one, I'm going to give you a few seconds. You're not going to get all 100 written. And you can tweak this list later. But I want you just to write. And here's what you're going to do. I'm just going to say go in a few seconds, and you're just going to start writing a word or a phrase on each line. And then as you're writing, I'm gonna say words or phrases that might help trigger more words or phrases. You could write the word or phrase that I say in a second. You could, but it doesn't. Don't do that. You don't have to. I'm asking you to listen and then write from what sprouts off of that word or phrase. So it's really up to you. Take my word or phrase. Don't take my word or phrase. Ignore me. Ask for your money back. Whatever you want to do. You ready? 1 through 100. Here we go. Start writing. Just start writing. And then I'm going to give you a word or a phrase. Childhood experiences. Pet peeves. A favorite person or people. Vacations. Mm-hmm. fears. All right, finish those and then pause and go ahead and share with your group. Did anyone get more than 10? Yeah. More than 20? Mm-hmm. 30, anyone get more than 30? Mm-hmm. Go for it. Share what you got. Okay, we'll bring it back in. And just quickly, did anyone have a word or phrase that someone would share that maybe other people would want to write on their list? I heard a lot. I mean, I heard a lot of murmurs. So I got some great ideas. I'll call on you because I have a couple people in line. But share if you want to what you did.
Humiliating experiences.
That was me.
That was good. Humiliation is a great emotion to enjoy and revisit. It's fun. Anyone else want to share what they got? Any other words, thoughts, phrases?
I have a lot of thoughts about church camp. Because I went to church camp a lot when I was a kid.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. So start your list, finish your list, get to at least 100, and start crossing them off, and then add and keep it going. I have my old list and I still work through it, and it still brings inspiration and challenge and frustration and joy and writing topics, and helps me get out of tight spots sometimes. So
crossing off, so like when you write, when you write about it,
cross it off. Yeah, I wouldn't delete it. I would just draw a line through it, so you could always go back and revisit it.
Okay.
All right. And so the next of the W is what, and again, this will go quickly because you probably already came with the center in mind of where you're going with the writing, maybe not, but you've already mentioned some of these that you might want to, what you want to write is a blog, a memoir, a speech in the sense of I need to stand and deliver what I have to say, and maybe other things out there that I haven't listed. And so what you want to do is invest in the things that will help you to find material for what you want to write. By that I mean the time, the experiences, the people, the resources that will help you move into that kind of writing that you want to do. So Anne Lamott is one of my absolute favorite writers. I'm going to be read her stuff. If you haven't read her stuff, you need to go right now online and go to Amazon and order this book. It's called Bird by Bird, Some Instructions on Writing in Life. It's amazing. And order it, and some Amazon drone will have it at your doorstep, I'm sure, by the time you get home. So here is a quote that I love from her book. One of the gifts of being a writer is that it gives you an excuse to do things, to go places, and explore. Another is that writing motivates you to look closely at life as it is, as it lurches by and tramps around. Mm-hmm. So again, that's the see and be, the go, the do concept I'm trying to encourage you to move into as a writer. And so I really recommend her writing. There's a lot of people who write great. She writes about spirituality as well. And I just love her style. She's very frank and a little mouthy, but it's nothing you ladies haven't heard before, I'm sure. But she's great. I really recommend Anne Lamott as a writer. Okay, so we've talked macro. We talked about you as a writer. How are you going to be in this big picture and really do the big concept of writing? Ooh, this big cloud of what and how and all that. So hopefully I've given you some anchors inside of that cloud to move into and say, okay, I tried that. It's still going to be a big fuzzy gray cloud out there to some degree, but you've got some place to go now inside of that, I hope. So from there, let's move into a little tighter focus on that and talk about some of the structure of writing and the other kind of W's of the writing basics. This is the inside look of the W's of writing. And so when we actually do the work of writing, you're actually now in your writing moment. So we're moving from the big picture, the motivation, the why, the outside external you, and the inner spiritual you, the soulish you. And now we're going to move to the actual craft and the skill of writing. And like I said at the beginning of the workshop, this is a huge overview. I'm really doing a big flyover for this workshop. And so we're getting a lot. And so what I'm hoping to do is at least expose you to things that you're like, I think I got that. And then other things you're like, no clue on that. And so you can start identifying the areas that you might want to move into more and understand a little bit better. All right. So understanding the W's in terms of inside your writing is when you're writing, you also need to identify the same W's we just talked about. So who is going to appear in your writing? And to whom are you writing? So who's going to take a place inside your writing? And also the other who is, to whom? Who's your audience? So in the moment of that specific writing time, who's appearing in that writing and to whom are you writing in that moment? Now, we've already talked about the general sense of our writing purpose. This is the writing in that moment, that one, the thing you're going to write. Okay, and then the what. What are you writing? Oops. And so what is going to include when it happened, where it happened, and why it happened. And then the why is also going to address bigger, more significant issues like worldview, spirituality, and the call to action, in a sense. Not every piece that you have will have a call to action. Not every piece will be persuasive. Not every piece will have someone at the end have a big aha moment. Sometimes we write, and the why is, I just wanted you to laugh at my knucklehead story. I had a really weird date. And so you will, that might be your why that day. Just say someone will laugh. Other why might be a call to action. Move forward. Make a decision. Embrace the Lord in a different way. See spirituality differently. You're going to move your worldview out there and encourage thinking along those lines. So outside of the W's is going to be the very, very basic writing principle that we would show and not tell. So we're going to avoid using phrases like there was, there were, there is, there are. These are big red flags in your storytelling ability. If you're saying things like, there were a lot of people there. So any sentence that has that, I'm going to really just ask you to be critical on that and yank those out and reword that. I'm going to give you some ideas on that in a second. Usually they're not too hard to change. There were dogs barking at the cats. Just say, dogs barked at the cats. Just economy of words. Economy of words. Like, thin it down. All right? Now, there's other seasons, other writing that you're going to just write, what we say is verbose writing. Loquacious is when we talk, verbose is when we write. So verbose writing means there's a lot of words there, and you're doing it for a reason. You're on purpose letting your reader with a ton of words. But for the most part, writing needs to be, as they say, economical. Thin it out. When you talk, I can go on and on, yammer, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm writing, nobody got time for that. Really click and move forward. Until they fall in love with you in your writing, you really want to engage your reader by thinning it out, getting to your point. So work on that. And this is all under the category of show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. Again, with the show, don't tell tip on that, is to avoid L-Y words. These are your adverbs. This can sometimes indicate that you are telling your audience stuff. Silently, Lotus walked to the kitchen. Okay, you're not in fifth grade anymore. You didn't just learn how to use an adverb. Stop writing like that. So instead, Lotus sneaked into the kitchen without a sound. All right. So just double check words that end with L-Y. You don't have to never, ever, ever use an adverb ever again. I'm not saying that. But just these are kind of red flags of, you sound like you're 10. Don't write like that anymore. All right. This is a great quote from Cindy Sheldon, and I think I copy and pasted it, so the original quote must have had this error in it. A blank piece of paper is God's way of telling us how hard it to be God. Oh. It is to be God. Anyway, again, by Sydney Sheldon. And this is like just a great reminder to us about the process of writing and the humility it takes to say, wow, God started literally what we say, ex nihilo, out of nothing, he made it all. And so here I am, and I've got a whole lot to go from. Thank you, Lord. And go back to him in that humility in those seasons when you're not sure what to write. Again, on their show, Don't Tell, moving forward with that. You're not writing a script. Don't give backstage directions when you write stuff. So instead of just telling everything and every move, something happened in your story, you're trying to relate to people, he walked 3 steps to the room, pushed open the door, walked to the chair before sitting on it to read the newspaper. How about just, he entered the room and picked up the paper. People can fill in the blanks that they moved here to there. So just check your writing for that kind of stuff. It makes it hard to read, and it's, as we say, pedantic. It walks your reader along more than they need. You don't need to hold their hands and be pedantic about that kind of stuff. All right. So in our show Don't Tell, we are going to work on using sensory language. Sensory language. A real easy way to remember this is to take your hand, like you did in kindergarten when you made that Thanksgiving turkey, put your hand on your blank piece of paper and trace it. So if you have a room on your page, if you need more paper, somebody will give you some. Find your paper and stick your hand on it. And like you're making it there, the Thanksgiving turkey. Kids used to make those. They drew those. Go ahead and make your, trace your handprint, everybody. Are you ready? Almost. Good. Trace your hand. Go ahead. All right, here we go. On your fingers, write the following words. C. This is just a visual to help you as you're writing. So on one finger, write the word see. On the next finger, write the word hear. Taste. Touch. Smell. And in the middle of the hand, on your palm, I want you to draw a heart big enough to fit the word feel in it. Draw a heart in the palm of your hand there, feel. So notice I use the word touch for physical touch and feel for emotional feeling. Sensory language includes these kinds of words. Feeling words are words that help us decide, make an action, an inaction, or an impact. So when we go to a movie, what senses are we experiencing coming off the screen at us? What are we getting sensory-wise?
Seeing
and
hearing.
Unless you're in some special theater, you can't taste anything that they're experiencing on the screen. You can't actually touch what they're experiencing on the screen. You can't actually smell what they're experiencing on the screen. You could also potentially feel what they're experiencing on the screen. So we're very adept at using sensory language that involves seeing and hearing, maybe emotionally feeling. What I'd like you to consider doing is move into, help your audience experience the taste and the touch and the smell, the aroma of your experience. Now, do not make this a checklist for your writing. I did not include smell. So just like stick it in there. But just embrace that as you do writing. Again, this is just the micro part of writing and some tips on how to make your writing better and more engaging, and using sensory language is part of that. And so just give yourself a review when you do your writing. Are you using sensory language? Are you beating it up on too much of the seeing or hearing or emotional? And I need to just bring my writer, my reader in. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, maybe my favorite author, said, instead of telling us the thing is terrible, describe it so that we will be terrified. Mm. He's so good. Mm. Don't say it was delightful. Make us say delightful when we've read the description. All those words, horrifying, wonderful, hideous, exquisite, are only like saying to your readers, please, will you do my job for me? Don't use those. create a sense in which your reader experiences horrifying moment. Create a sense where they come away feeling like it was wonderful. They can use that word. You're creating the sense around that word. So use your sensory language to help you identify what you're experiencing in that moment and what you want your reader to also experience. And then work on the discipline of not saying that word. Go around that word and create that sense. Again, that's a whole workshop in itself right there. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're just flying over all of this. Anton Chekhov said it this way: don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass. That's so beautiful. Isn't that nice? All right. So, guess what we're going to do right now?
Break some glass.
Yeah, we're going to break some glass. So I'd like you to go back to Kohl's, fast food, spirituality, or now that you've got almost 100 things written down, I'd like you to choose something that you've already moved into tonight. You tiptoed around in your 100-words list. You don't have 100 yet, but you're getting there. You've definitely written quite a bit on Kohl's and fast food and spirituality. Those are, you know, things. So choose one of those, something from your list, or one of the three that we've already talked about. And I'd like us to take a moment to move in to that experience, that word, that concept, that idea, and bring it to life. And this is where I would like you to go ahead and try your hand at writing about that. And again, a benchmark this, I'm not going to give you too much more direction on that, but just try your hand at something you wrote about. I already asked you to identify what pulled a strong emotion from you, so maybe go back to that strong emotion. That's going to be the easiest thing to write about, or the hardest. Strong emotion can be difficult to write about. But pick something off of your list, and if you wanted a clean sheet of paper, do that, or just keep on writing where you are. And using your notes, using inspiration from what C.S. Lewis has reminded us of. You're not going to write the Great American Tweet right now. You're just going to write. And go ahead, and I'll give you a few, a minute or so, just to write and get things going. All right? Go. All right, about 15 seconds just to kind of wrap up that thought. All right, as you're ready, just turn to your partner and feel comfortable, hopefully, to share, if you'd like to, what you've read, what you've written. I mean, go ahead and share that with your partner.
And my daughter.
Okay. I would love if one of you would be interested in reading out loud for everyone to hear what you wrote. Does anyone feel so led? Compelled.
What'd you ask?
To read out loud what you just wrote for the whole group.
All right.
Thank you, Mel.
40 minutes. 40 minutes to and from school. This is how long it takes. My day starts and ends driving my kids to school every day. Soon I will no longer be driving Macy to school. 11 years. 11 years is how long Macy and I have been going to school together. This year she graduates. Those 40 minutes are everything to me with her. I will miss and already feel the pain of not having those 40 minutes next year.
Beautiful. I remember that with my baby. She can't be that old. It's not possible.
I know.
Anyone else want to share theirs?
Yours gave me color.
Gina, do you want to share?
Not really.
That's fine.
My grammar is not.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Very visual. I love it.
Okay. When I wake up in the morning, I go to the balcony at my home. I look out at the Mingus Mountains. They are dark at first, then I can hardly see. As the sun rises and moves, light is coming, is covering the ground. The hills turn purple, then orange, then finally the natural color, brown, as it is winter. I see the cows in the field across the way. It is very dry, but there is one tree that's leaves are still green. As my eyes move across, I see the Bradshaw Mountains. They seem to get more water as the trees are very green.
Hmm. I can picture it.
Me too.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, you know, this exercise is a part of what you can place upon yourself to do and ask a friend to help you to do as well. But in the process of writing, Gina, you expressed just now what I think all of us feel at some point is like, ugh, it's not ready, it's not good. And, I mean, we all know this is just an impromptu thing. No one's expecting the Great American Tweet or novel. But good job. Thank you for being brave to share that. So as we're writing, I want us to remember a few things. First of all, I want you to be good to yourself as you write. Be good to yourself. Okay? You will never be as good, as ready, as smart, as interesting, as connected, as healed, as articulate, as you think you should be. You just won't. Uh-huh. And you might feel really proud of yourself in that moment. It was good, but you will always feel like you found something like, not good enough, not this, not that. I could have done this, I could have said this. I mean, we are just relentless on ourselves for that stuff. And that's okay. There's a place for that. But when you find yourself beating yourself up, just ask yourself, would you talk to your best friend like that?
Right.
Would you say that to her? Mm-hmm. No, you would not. So just be nice to yourself. Apply 1 Corinthians 13 to yourself. Love is patient with yourself. Love is kind to yourself. Love keeps no record of wrongs that you have done over and over again, you knucklehead, right? Just be good to yourself. Be okay to be good to yourself. Next, read. Read. Expose yourself to the classics. Get out there and join a book club. Start a book club, or just be a book club of one. And read a classic. Get that going. I read at least 2 a year of classics. Go find that list. It's the 100 books you should read before you die list or whatever. And read those books. Start with East of Eden, which is my favorite. Read East of Eden. It's big, but it's so good. And Steinway is amazing. Steinbeck, the way he writes. Steinway, piano, whatever. Read East of Eden. That's one of my favorites. Up and coming. Get out there and read something like crazy, like before they make it into a movie and you found it first and, you know, up and coming stuff. And, you know, Oprah's book club, sometimes she'll do stuff that nobody else knows about yet. And every now and then she has a good one. I'm like, oh, that's not a horrible worldview. I can read that. So just be careful, you know, obviously. But, you know, read up and coming stuff and get outside of what you normally would potentially read.
We need a Christian Oprah.
Yeah. You can find that. And then read something in your genre that you are writing. That's, you write memoir writing, basically. You writing a blog, then read people's blogs. Read people other memoirs. Read the kind of stuff that you're writing. Read that. Comedy, if you're doing comedy, Mel, you're interested in comedy. Read Sedaris. Read his stuff. He's hysterical. You know, read people that are in your field. And then read people that are completely out of your field. Something new, right? Something that just completely scary. You don't even want to let somebody else know that you were reading. Don't read something against, you know, the will of God. Obviously, don't go read, you know, Shades of Grey or whatever. Now, don't read something horrible, but read something that you will be shocked to find out that you read it, right? Outside of breaking the word of God. All right. Reduce stress is what happens when we read. It increases your vocabulary. It helps with your worldview exposure. Not everybody experiences the world the same way you do. This will help you relate to your readers and help you expand your style as well. And it increases your style exposure of writing, but it also gives you great phrases. I keep a list of phrases as I write. When I was reading, like, for example, East of Eden, his turn of phrase, the way he pulls things together, you're like, how did you even think of saying it that way? And it's so great because it's in California, so it's a lot of stuff we're really accustomed to. Central Northern California area, so scenery and people and things and themes, and then the way he describes them. And he's totally a secular writer. So it's not... if you've been to my talks before, you've heard me say how much I love Christian radio.
Not.
I don't love Christian radio. And I don't really like Christian writers, fiction writers in particular. They're just not good. They're kind of like Christian movies. They're just not good. They're not good yet. Yeah. They're getting there. It's just like, that's not really good. So I love them, and I appreciate that they're doing it. But it's, you know, a step below Hallmark movies. So that's just my personal opinion on the topic. So read good writers who are actually writing and have owned their craft. Christian writers are probably, if they're published, they're probably better than me and you, so there's that. But, you know, read really, really, really good writers at the top of their game who are getting paid good money. All right, J.K. Rowling, for example. Not a big fan. I don't even like Harry Potter. It's not my genre that I'm interested in. She's great. If you follow her on Twitter, she writes really fun things, and great little tidbits of advice come up. And then she responds really well to people. Like, people will write about their life, and she'll respond and really encourage them. She's great. So she wrote, when rereading last week's work, the trick is to stop for a biscuit just before your blood sugar level drops to every single word of this is worthless. I just wanted to include that with the content of be good to yourself. Okay. And so, you know, eat food. don't throw away your writing. And even people like J.K. Rowling have a difficult time to do that. So write, just do it. Nike it. Just do it. Just get out there and do it and set that goal. Make it a priority and write. Give your goal a time frame. I'm going to write this by this time. I'm going to have a blog up and running by this time. One of the tips I give people is if you're not ready to go live with your blog, don't publish it. Just write and just pack in a ton of content so that when you're ready, you'll at least have content ready. Because when you do start a blog, in order for you to have readers who want to follow you, you need to post at least once a week. So if you've got 20 articles ready, then you've got some content hanging out. You don't have to publish it. Just get it out there. But set a time frame and you know, make it... sometime this year. You'll make it in 20 years. so you'll definitely not write the Great American Tweet if you do that. So make a time frame and go for it. And then connect. Connect today. Maybe in this room is a writing partner, or maybe somebody who's coming to tomorrow's workshop that couldn't come tonight you already know about. Connect today with this group, or find an online group that you can connect with. There are Facebook groups that you can connect online. If you rather connect in person with people, talk to your best girlfriend, talk to your cousin, talk to a sister, your mom, your grandma, whoever, and just say, I'm writing and I need accountability. Would you read my stuff? Can we go back and forth? And then make that a new way to connect with a human, with another person. And make that a priority today to either connect in this group with someone here or to somebody else. Here are some resources that I have found helpful. Even again, I'm going to put these all up here, explain them a little bit. Daily writing tips, pretty self-evident what that is. It's writing tips daily. So go to their website. They have a ton of resources there, right there on the website. Grammarly and Hemingway app are apps that you can load in onto your computer, whether it's a Mac or PC. And it'll run in the background when you open up Word to write something, and you can. It's better than just the native grammar checker that your spelling checker that your computer comes with. So Grammarly is good. It's worth it to pay for the pro version if you're going to write a lot and you have a lot of other people's words in your brain, because the pro version helps you avoid plagiarism. It's happened to me before where I'm writing something and I pull a phrase, I'm like, that was brilliant! And it was somebody else's. That wasn't me.
If you're
so smart. No, I'm not.
If you're a student, you can use the pro version at no charge.
There you go.
I used that when I was
pro version if you're a student. And then the Hemingway app is even better. It'll help you to work on word choice and how you run sentences together. Grammarly can be used for free, but it's basically the same as what's on Word. What's nice about Grammarly is that you can set the settings so it'll check your writing when you're putting a Facebook post up.
Okay. What does?
Grammarly does. if you use Chrome, I have a Chrome extension that works with Grammarly, so even when I put a Facebook post up or my blog post or anything, it'll go in and I can set that and it'll check that. So Grammarly I recommend, and I recommend Hemingway. Both of those are good. And you pay, if you want the premium stuff, you're going to have to pay for it, which it's worth it. Sarah Werner is a blog writer. She also does a podcast. She's great. She's just down-to-earth, regular gal. And I'm not paid to promote any of these people. I'm going to talk to them about that. But she's really good. And she has a Facebook group, and she has this great podcast, and her website is great as well. What I like about her podcast is it gives... She does interviews with other writers, but then she also does just tips and ideas as well. And because she has a heart for the deaf community in Jamaica, she started transcribing all of hers, and so even her podcasts are now written out so you can read them. Sometimes it's easier to read something than it is to listen to it. So I think for the most part, all of her podcasts are also transcribed. Not most podcasters don't do that, but she does, and I've enjoyed her content. And then Christian Writing Today is just a great, again, resource and a ton of stuff that you'll find in there. You guys, there's so much online. Just Google it. Just like writing tips for today, how to be a better writer, whatever you want. Just Google it, and you'll find 10 times better than what I've just told you tonight, and you can go teach your own workshops. And so find all that. Google is your friend. Enjoy that. Explore the writing world. Share that with your friends, and it'll help you be a better writer. And we will close with the last two quotes here. This is from Ernest Hemingway. It's none of their business that you have to learn to write. Let them think you were born that way. Don't tell people you came here tonight. I'm just a natural. It just comes so easy to me. No, I'm just kidding. He's funny. Read Hemingway also. He's a great writer, obviously. And then the best writer of all. This is why we're here. You have a calling on your heart. You want to bring God glory in your life. And you have the ideas swirling around in your brain. Where are you going to go with them? What are you going to do? How are you going to move forward with that? In every aspect of your life, bring God glory. And that, we know that, right? Mm-hmm. And this doesn't mean you give an altar call at the end of every page that you write, obviously. But it means that, is this how people see God? Am I reflecting His image? Am I a good image bearer of God's glory and His character and how I'm bringing the world to people? It through the rawness of my story, through the humor in my story, through the thought process, how I help people think things through. And even if nothing else happened outside of you, are you working through what God's asked you to do just by in the process of writing? Even if you never hit publish, you never hit that button and it never goes out there. Have you done something inside your own spirit and your own life to bring God glory? And I think you will. I think in just the act of coming here tonight and engaging in whatever you've done, even if this is all you do for now, and that's the season that you're in, I believe this could be a way to bring glory to God. So I wanted to pause at this point. We're scheduled to go to 8:30, but we have a few minutes. I wanted to open it up to kind of Q&A. Before we officially go home. So are there any questions that I can answer? Anything that stumbles you? Anything you didn't get answered? You were hoping I'd really give you the perfect key to this one problem you have in writing. I'm sure I can't solve it, but I'll make up something. Or point you to Sarah Werner's website. What do you got? Any questions for me?
You said to write down that thing when I said, what happens if you're writing more than one thing at a time, or mm-hmm. one topic at a time, or one reader at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that I do with my 100 words list is eventually every word moves to its own page. And because it could be a different type of writing, and I don't know if I'm going to answer your question, so we can tighten it up in a minute, but if you're writing multiple things, I think of it as the same way my nightstand looks. My husband says, which book are you reading? All of them. It's like, depends on what mood I'm in. Like flipping through stations on your TV, you're like, I don't know what mood I'm in. Same thing with your writing. Write all of it. You want to write for humor, write for compelling people, write for just sharing a raw story, write for catharsis, write that'll never get published, write for stuff that's going to get published. So be okay to do that. If you go to my blog, it's Jennifer gRichmond@blogspot.com. I put it on the front page, I think. It'll say on the front, like, this is my heart and soul on from my kitchen to my spiritual life to everything in between. So you know, if I tighten up my focus, someday I will. But for now, it's just kind of who I am. It's just out there.
Did answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Write about everything.
And what was the thing about transcribing stuff?
Mm-hmm. Dragon Speaking is a program you can get on your computer, and it will transcribe. There's other ones you can get that are free online. I can't remember the name of it, but I downloaded that one, and you just upload your text into it, and upload the audio into it, and it'll transcribe it. Dragon Speaking, tell me what it costs, Leanne. I haven't purchased it in a while. It was on sale just recently, so
the Dragon?
Dragon Speaking was, yeah.
It, before it was called something else. I got it from my dad a long time ago.
Oh, sure. Well, the new version is called Dragon Speaking Naturally, and it was just recently on sale on Amazon, so just type that in and see what you find. The other thing you can do is a website called Fiverr. Fiverr.
Oh.
Fiverr.com. Go to Fiverr.com. And what you can get anything for $5 on Fiverr. That's the concept of Fiverr. Do you want somebody to illustrate your book for you? Do it for $5. I mean, you'll get what you pay for. But one of the ways I use the Fiverr service is when I deliver a talk, if I want it transcribed, I send the audio to the gal I have. I've been working with her a few years now, so we just work privately together, but I found her on Fiverr. And I send her the audio, and she transcribes the whole thing. Sends it back. She's from Australia, so I deliberately found someone who spoke English natively and didn't live in my time zone, so that she would be awake when I was asleep, so I could finish a talk like tonight's if I want to go home and transcribe it, and send it to her at 10 o'clock at night, and she'll have it ready to me by 6 o'clock in the morning. So then I'll have it right away. So, and they charge $5 for X minutes, usually $5 for 5 minutes. But that's a great one you can do if you don't have to make a huge investment into software, and if you only want to do a few things here and there. It's called Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. And or if you just want the name of my girl and I go through privately now because we've been working together for a few years, I'll give you her name. She's great. She's in Australia. And she's going to accept the Lord soon. She's going to say, everything I do is some kind of spiritual nature. I'm like, what is she going to ask me about Jesus? So I'm just going to move that conversation along. Anyway, any other questions?
Do you have any resources for young writers of fiction? My daughter likes to write fiction. Mm-hmm. She's really good at description. She's really good at being in the moment. But plot and story arc are not there.
Not there.
What do you...
Yeah. There is an annual event maybe you're familiar with. It's called NaNoWriMo. Anyone have heard of NaNoWriMo before? National Writers... National Writers Month, basically. And it happens in November every year, and it's online, it's all the time, but in November, you get 30 days to write a novel. I have a couple friends who've done it, and one of my friends has done like 10 of them through NaNoWriMo.
Wow.
And so I would recommend their website because it's more geared toward fiction, and so this was more on non-fiction, obviously, but a lot of the concepts are the same.
Oh, yeah.
And moving forward in that way. But I would do NaNoWriMo because she could find a community in there. You're talking about Carolyn?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's super into being online and all that. She would dig NaNoWriMo. And I think I might have recommended it.
NaNoWriMo?
National Novel Writers Month. I forget. But it stands for that, NaNoWriMo.
Okay.
You'll find it. I'll write it down for you. Any other questions? Yes, Gina.
So, would it be helpful to say, okay, I'm going to pick camping as a subject to write on?
Mm-hmm.
Should I, to help develop my writing, would it be wise to say, okay, I'm writing this as a fun thing or as, therapy, like pick a business? Yes.
Yes and no. Yes, in a general sense, because you came up with the thought, do it. So that's a yes. If you come up with the idea, do it. And then move into it and find if you like it or not. And then no, because ultimately when you go to write, you need to be, unless you have no desire to get it out there published, you should be writing for an audience. You shouldn't just be writing for outer space. You should be writing for an audience. And if you're writing for an audience, something should compel them to want to come in and hear that. And so if you're writing for fun, then own that and just move into that fun story. But if you don't have nothing fun to say about camping, Don't pick camping and then I'm going to make this fun. Unless it's you're writing fiction, but if you're writing memoir writing, you're going to pick a story that evoked a feeling and you're going to write about that.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, I was just thinking of, you know, like home, your skill in a certain area.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was my thought.
Yeah.